Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christy, Marie, and Julie.
And I get to say, bow chicka bow bow, bow
chicka. Sure.
But, you know, I heard somebody else say something different this week, so I'm going to say it as well. Ready?
Go for it.
Brown chicken, brown cow. Brown chicken, brown cow.
Yes. And to all your Housewives of New Jersey fans, you get that. And then I'm like, what is she saying?
Bow chicka bow bow, brown chicken, brown cow.
Yeah, and I think my, you know, I don't know about the girlfriends out there, but I just, like, my wheels start turning. Like, what is she meaning by, does she know what she really should say? I mean, come on. It's crazy what she's saying.
It's cray-cray.
It is cray-cray.
It's cray-cray. So, girlfriend, I want to say officially, welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christy, Marie, and Julie. And that's it.
That's right. It's going to be a different radio show tonight because we usually have two guests.
Yes.
Once in a while, we may have just one guest.
Right.
And we try and bring the most awesome guest to you. And I learned so much over the course of the last several months.
But we've been planning a day where it's just going to be the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
We just, overall, this is kind of how we started way back when. It was just the two of us. Do you remember on it was a Blog Talk Radio?
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes we would go for 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah, so what we were doing, we would have people call up and you would do intuitive work.
Yes.
We're not doing that tonight, not tonight.
But it was like on a Friday night from like, you know, 8 to midnight,
mm-hmm.
and we'd talk and we would do all sorts of coaching and me as a psychotherapist, and then people would call in and we'd do a little intuitive work and a little coaching, a little psychotherapy.
A little paranormal talk, because that's always a fascinating topic for me. And we'd have lots of fun. And so tonight,
so now it's just the two of us, girlfriend.
Yeah, we're just going to let it all hang out and just get down to some fun stuff.
Are we going to pull back the curtains?
Yes.
Kind of like on the Great and Powerful Oz.
Definitely.
We're going to pull back the curtains, and we're just a couple of gals from City of Dixon. That's it, girlfriend.
And it's interesting you say that, because at the end of the show, you know, I really want to talk about, I want to talk about Anthony Weiner.
Are you really?
I do. I'm going to talk about him.
Okay.
And I'm going to talk about him and your conversation with Norm.
Yes.
Your husband, my father, about hubris.
Right.
That awesome term.
Right.
And, you know, being from the town of Dixon, people might know that we had a politician be taken down by her hubris.
That's right.
And it was painful. For everybody involved.
I mean, it made international news. Not just national news. You could hear it in Croatia,
sure.
Latvia, England.
Can
Italy.
You imagine, though, a smaller country,
mm-hmm.
I mean, who didn't have a huge, you know, a huge amount of people bringing lots of money into their tax base and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking of this little town in Dixon, Illinois,
mm-hmm.
who through the course of 20-plus years, their treasurer took, what, $56 million, something crazy like that?
Yeah.
They probably think,
little town,
boy,
you know, 16,000 people.
Yeah. Those rich Americans over there, how can a town afford to lose $56 million?
You think that we would notice that, right?
Yes. They're so rich, they can't notice it. Yes. Well, we noticed it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We noticed it. But it just, we all thought we were poor. We thought we were broke. We thought we couldn't turn the Christmas lights on. And instead, our treasurer got taken down by hubris. So
That's right. We'll
talk about that. And we're going to talk about a lot of cool stuff, too, because we just got done this morning having our Clearing the Clutter Sunday. Woo-hoo-hoo!
Yeah. You know, we do this once a month. And every time has its own flavor.
Yes.
And today, for us, was from 9 to noon. It had its own flavor. We, during the second hour, we meet from 9 to noon. And Julie and I start out 5 or 10 minutes at 9 o'clock, and then we all break and go do our, whatever we're going to clear the clutter of. Some people do desks, some, you know, whatever you choose to do. I did boxes, you know. And I have a phone ringing right now.
Yes, I know who it is, too. But don't worry about it. I called me, too. You should turn it off, girlfriend. Why aren't you professional enough to turn it off? What's going on with you?
But so at 9, we talk for 5 or 10 minutes, and we break. And then at 10, people come back on the line, and we do some affirmations and some EFT work. But during that second hour, we kind of fell into a funk.
Yes.
I got triggered by some things that I had opened this box up that I was just prepared to, you know, clear the clutter on, and I got triggered by some things, and I got into a kind of a funky place.
Well, and it's interesting because we talk about clearing the clutter because we know that things trap energy. And by doing that, we create space in our lives, and we know we want to do that. And no matter how hard we try, because you start clearing away clutter that's been around for a long time.
Right.
And you're like, I'm revisiting this crap that I thought I let go of.
Right.
And it's like, oh, it's still right in my face. It's still in my wheelhouse. What's going on here?
And I felt so, and it was interesting because I'd, you know, gotten rid of it. And you know me, I don't like to handle this stuff more than once.
No, you're much better than I am. Yeah. I have to handle things two or three times before I'm
satisfied. It's like you either, it either goes into a box that is for donation or maybe sell or whatever. And so I don't want to handle it more than that. But, and then, was it about the card? I can't even remember now.
Right. Well, you and Normano were having an argument about some clutter. And you scream. He's like, I'm frustrated. I'm frustrated, people. And this is when I have, you know, in our book, The Clutterfly Effect, we had a question from someone, a lovely lady who said, hey, you know, my husband and I are disagreeing about cleaning a closet out and what to do with it. And I thought, oh, my gosh, is it, you know, is this real life imitating art or art imitating life? I don't know, but I'm in the twilight zone right now. And
I know, and I called you in.
Yes.
You said, do you guys need a referee or something like that?
I need an interpreter.
Oh, that's right,
Because you were definitely from Venus and Normano was from Mars.
At that point.
And I was somehow in the Milky Way figuring out interpreting it, and I could do it for you guys. And I said, what is the big deal here? Keep it in the box. Put it back where it belongs. It's not meant to be dealt with at this moment.
Right.
Don't spend another 20 minutes arguing about it. It's not worth it.
Right.
And that's the thing. You knew what your purpose was for the day.
Mm-hmm.
You knew what it was, and you could have stayed there. You could have stayed.
I really could have. I mean, when that broke down for that moment, I've been known to go south. I would, you know, but I decided to take an El Paso, and hey, I knew where my focus was. I knew that I didn't want to take this next hour, get on the psychoanalyst couch and go, now, why are we, you know, why are men from Venus, Mars and women from Venus?
Let's discuss this now, Julie.
Yes, let's do it. But, you know, because we had that purpose, you know, because we had that focus, I was able to just go, okay, wait a minute. I'm not going to spend, you know, an hour or two trying to heal this. This is just kind of like a boom done next.
Oh, yes, exactly.
It was good.
Exactly.
And so I got over it, didn't have any residual energy.
And see, I think that's the part about growing up and trying to find your way in the world in some sense, because I remember growing up, you know, years ago, you and I could talk about my problems. Thank you, Mom, for being a psychotherapist for hours. And like, why, Mama, why? I mean, that was
my favorite thing in the world, talking for hours.
About me.
Yes.
I loved it. You know, thank you, Mama. And that was great. It was just a wonderful way to stroke my ego in some sense, even though it was my problem. But now it's like, wait a minute. I get to choose here where I put my focus.
Right.
And, you know, that's the beauty of it. And I'm going to say something in a little bit, but, it's the beauty of it all to, like, say, okay, I'm not going to focus on this, on the craziness of what's going on, and go right back to my purpose and what I really believe in, which is I don't want to spend 20 minutes debating about this clutter, you know.
Right. And I didn't want to get into an argument.
No, of course.
Which is where I was going, because, you know, you just, you know, you scratch that scab.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to bleed. It's going to bleed, girlfriend. It'll be bad.
Well, I was at a gas station the other day, and I was witnessing a young couple. I shouldn't say young. They were probably in their late 30s, early 40s, and they had three young kids. And I'm witnessing their conversation. The husband's trying to pay, and I could tell that the wife had just hit her limit. For whatever reason, he wasn't doing anything right. I don't know what he had done before, but he wasn't doing anything right. And finally she said, you know what, I'm just going to go wait in the car because I've had enough of this.
Right, exactly.
And I thought to myself, you know what, you go. That's a perfect thing to do, because whatever you're doing now is keeping up the frustration. Take a break.
You got to break the chain.
Yeah.
I mean, look, what man doesn't know that he's a big disappointment.
Exactly.
Well, they wouldn't know what to do if they didn't talk about that, right?
Right.
How big of a disappointment are you to your wife? Oh, how big?
Yeah.
Not as big as me. You know?
Yeah. Even though I love her to death, I'm just still somewhere. I'm a disappointment.
And even though I love my man to death, you know, I'm like, I don't know who I inherited the disappointment gene.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my mom, certainly. My grandmother,
right.
If I know my great-grandma, probably that as well, you know. But, yeah, there's just this little suitcase full of disappointment that we drag around.
But I think over the generations it has decreased. Because for me, am I disappointed? You know, sometimes, sure. But I go detached.
Mm-hmm.
I go, let it all go. Let it all go.
You honestly, I think you have mastered that.
I try my hardest.
Yes.
I let it all go.
In one of the boxes today, I found a card that you had mailed me probably, I don't know, 4 years ago. I don't know, but it was beautiful, and I had kept it. But it got into, you know, somehow it made its way into this box that I was, you know. And so I handled it, I touched it, and it was this big, beautiful butterfly in the front, and it said, sometimes, I opened it up and it said, sometimes you have to sacrifice who you are to become that which you were meant to be.
Oh, that's cool.
And it was so, and to read that, you know, again, was so touching, but you had mentioned that we had just made a contract with each other.
Right.
And one was that we were going to complete the first draft of our book, The Clutterfly Effect.
Yay, got done.
And can you imagine now, Amazon number one bestseller?
Yes.
Still, I mean, it's still like in the top 20.
Yes.
After all these months. But, wow, I mean, that felt so good. And the next one totally surprised me. The second goal was that you wanted was to have 21 or 22 websites.
Yes.
Up and running.
And oh my gosh, that did not happen.
No. I couldn't even remember in my wheelhouse that was something
so funny because I want to talk about this next. I want to talk about goal accomplishment because I've been during this clearing the clutter, we do some tapping and we do some affirmations because we want to clear the energetic clutter and then we want to fill it with some good stuff.
Yeah, it's called EFT,
right.
Emotional Freedom Technique. People have probably heard about that.
Right. And it was interesting because reading some affirmation about goals and this idea that if you don't accomplish the ones that you're supposed to accomplish or you think you want to accomplish, reevaluate them. They may not be the ones for you. And I think back to that goal, and I had just found out about this one program where you create these fast websites, and there's a program where you do that, and you do all the Google Analytics, and you find the right search words, and, you know, you make $100 a month, maybe. And then you have a lot of them. You can do them so fast, you can have a lot of them. And I remember taking the class and literally sitting in front of my computer for 2 hours going, this is not fun. This is not easy. I can't do this. This is not working out.
Who am I? And I remember, like, you were going insane during that time.
I was.
And you said, Mom, look, I can. This is a huge niche. I go, what is it? You went, teacup pigs. What? Teacup pigs? We can own it. I'm like, and what else? Fainting goats.
Yeah.
I'm like, we're gonna own that niche. I'm like,
you know, and I was thinking, I was coming of all these weird niches that we could do articles on and create websites and sell product. And I couldn't get through any of it.
No, it just wasn't us.
It wasn't us. It wasn't me. And so I had I had passion for the money. It was kind of like, oh, all I got to do is set up this website and it'll bring in $100 a month.
And
so easy.
And the truth is we know several people that do that.
Yes, that's exactly right.
And it's perfect for their, you know, who they are, their personality.
Right. And they probably know something more than what I know. And yet here today, I looked at that card and I felt two things. I felt, I'm sure the lovelies out there get it. They go, oh, I feel great that I accomplished the Clutterfly Effect. And I go, I kind of feel crappy and shitty that I didn't accomplish the other thing. Because at the time I really wanted it. I really, really wanted to. And I was thinking of our engineer, Don. He was just telling me how he's been spending the last 2 years learning code. And he goes, I didn't want to. I didn't want to do it, and then I started doing it. I knew I had to do it. And now I like doing it. Don't say I love doing it, but I like doing it.
Yes.
And I realized that it wasn't for me at the time, and maybe, but if I would have stayed with it, would it have been for me? You know, could I have made it work? We'll never know, because there's no time traveling as far as I know.
Yeah, you never know.
I'm going to say, you know, there's something
else. But also, he did make the point, though, that he has a higher goal, which is to be of service.
Yes.
He had that focus.
I could not figure out the service part with the teacup pigs and the fainting goats. I couldn't figure that out yet.
There's the fainting goats, you said, and I think it was the screaming goats.
Yes.
There were, and so what was funny was we had this idea of this contest where the screaming goats would scream and cause the fainting goats to faint.
Yes.
Ha ha.
I thought that would be hysterical.
Yeah.
That would make me just laugh hysterically. I thought that would be easily a YouTube 300 million hit video.
Easy.
But there was a problem.
There was.
Yes. I didn't have any screaming goats, and I didn't have any
fainting
goats, and I didn't know how to slice them, the videos together, and I just thought, this can't be for me.
Mm-mm.
You know, this can't be for me. I know lots of people right now who have been trying different things and been like letting them go fast, and it's like, oh, I see why you let that go. It wasn't for you. It was obvious.
Mm-hmm.
But, hey, you're not doing anything. Why don't you try, you know?
Yeah. Well, and also, too, some people just go, I don't care what I do as long as it makes money.
Yeah.
But that really, honestly, that's for a certain kind of person that can do that.
Right.
Most people have to somewhat enjoy.
Well, I'm going
to
tell you this. I'll tell you who that person is. It's usually a dad who has kids that are hungry.
Yes, exactly.
And they're like, I will do anything to make money because I got a wife at home, I got kids at home, I got a mortgage,
that's
I got
right.
life,
you
got
bet.
To bring in some money.
You bet, girlfriend.
You know? Or I got to stay home and my wife got to go out there and make money. One of the two. So let's put our heads together. So it just kind of depends on need as well.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Dave Ramsey said, you know, you really will make as much money as you need to make in your lifetime. And I'm like, yeah, that's kind of true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if there's a bigger necessity or a bigger why, sometimes you have to make that work. You figure out a way to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's not pretty. It might be gritty, but it's not pretty.
You know, that's Tony Camaro's slogan, you know.
Yeah.
It ain't pretty, but it's gritty.
Exactly. And we were talking about, you know, these goals today. And one of the affirmations I was reading about was this idea about, do you have the belief or mind pattern for goal completion? And I thought about that because I was watching reality show. I think it was a wife swap, not a celebrity one, but a regular one.
Mm-hmm.
And this high-motivated couple was being switched with this woman who likes to do sword fighting. We don't know what that's called. But
yeah, kind of role-playing.
Role-playing, sword fighting. And
yeah.
Not very motivated, to say the least, but they love their life. And in the end, they both kind of mellowed out. You know, one wanted to be more ambitious, and the other one wanted to mellow out, and I thought that was great.
Mm-hmm.
And this man said, you know, you're kind of in the habit of just giving up. You're kind of in the habit of not completing. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. There are cycles that you get into where you're like, I cannot complete anything. What's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
I can't get this to work. And I was reading a day about the mind pattern of finishing your goals, goal completion.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you needed to start off with just one goal, one small goal
a
day.
It truly is a mind pattern.
Yes.
That you can, like you're saying, hopefully break or...
Yes.
You know, release yourself from that cycle because there are so many people just, you know, start something, stop something.
And we don't really get into the good stuff until we practice it a while.
Right.
So pause here.
This is a good time
to have a Zen Corner moment.
Okay.
A Zen Corner moment, everyone. Because I thought it was so perfect what you said about, not stopping, starting, doing something different.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you've got to stay in the game long enough to figure it out.
Yes.
And in so many ways, it's about learning to deal with the daily routine of it all. You know, and I love this quote. This is from the book Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind. I love that.
Okay.
So if you lose spirit of repetition, your practice will become quite difficult. And it's sort of like, yes, we have to get into that spirit
yes.
of repetition. You know, like the professional basketball players, they're not playing each other during practice all the time. What they're doing is they're probably hitting 1,000 jump shots or 500 free throws
right.
over and over again to get muscle memory so that when the time comes, that's when they get paid the big bucks
right.
to make it.
Right.
You know, I Tony Robbins talks about this as well. He says, if you're not into repetition, you're not into mastery. Because
so
you
true.
Can't get to mastery unless you're into repetition. And there are so many times that you know, you told me, you were like, Julie, you complete a lot of stuff. You just love the stuff you complete. And I'm like, yes, but there's things I want to do that are difficult and require me to kind of live in that
mm-hmm.
milieu of not really succeeding, not motivated, not getting that juices going because I'm in the process of repetition, getting my skill down.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the fun part.
Mm-mm.
But it's a necessary part.
But it is a necessary part.
And it's the Zen part.
And it's the Zen part, and it will, it's like putting some money into a future account, you
yeah.
know? That's what that does.
Oh, no way. Don't tell me that.
What?
Well, because it sounds like seed to me, seed money.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
So in some ways,
exactly.
it's like your repetition, your skill building time,
mm-hmm.
it's really your seed for mastery.
Yes.
And I think of our engineer, Donald, you know, how years ago, several years ago, he just was in the repetition of, you know, knowing code and using code and
mm-hmm.
learning code, or however that works out. You don't know at first, but, and he did it, and now he likes it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, yeah.
And if it starts bringing him some Zen moolah, he'll love that.
He'll love it.
That's
you
know,
right.
You're talking
that's
about
the harvest.
About basketball. Can I
yeah.
mention one thing I
mm-hmm.
saw this week? It was hysterical.
Mm-hmm.
They had this little 2-year-old boy on, I don't know, like Good Morning America or something. And the kid's like a crack basketball shot. He has his little, he's got his little mini basketball
mm-hmm.
set. And he just throws and he just hits a basket after basket. They can put him close. They put him far away. And he's so cute. He is 2 years old, had a little vest on, a long sleeve shirt, you know. And his dad's there with him. And he moves him up close. He moves him to the side.
Mm-hmm.
He puts him to a free shot. Hit it. And so the guy, I don't know who the guy was, but he was one of the hosts. He grabs a ball and he's pitching it back to the kid because he
mm-hmm.
wants the kid to keep shooting. And he just power, you know, shoots it just like you would do to an adult. Because he's thinking, here's this kid.
Yeah. Oh, no.
I'm sure, you know, that
yeah.
is hitting free. Surely he can catch a basketball, right?
Right.
No.
No. Was he
right
shooting?
In the face,
did you,
right on
oh
the schnoz.
God.
And he just, the kid's just standing there, his hands are down, and, you know, he gets hit in the face, and all of a sudden he looks to his dad, and he goes like, you know, like this on national TV, and he just starts crying. And dad picks him up. He goes, "Well, you know, he hasn't mastered catching the basketball, but
the kid's only two.
He's only two.
For heaven's sake, what are you thinking, man? Kid's only two. He can master shooting jump shots.
Yeah,
you know.
And it was
that's
like
hysterical.
It was so funny because it was just like, you know, one of those, you know, takes where he's just like, kids just stand there, his arms are down, and he just throws it right at his face. And I'm sure he's assuming that this kid can catch a basketball because he can, you know, he hasn't
yeah.
missed one shot, you know, and so, nope.
No. That's hysterical.
Yeah.
Oh, that is hysterical. Because I can imagine, how did the guy respond afterwards, the host?
Oh, my God. He was like, oh, you know.
Yeah.
And the dad goes, no, he just hasn't
ball.
Learned to really catch yet, but he can.
Oh, that is hysterical.
I
because
know.
Here he is. He just threw a ball at a 2-year-old.
Yeah. Like, and he, you know, power shot it right in his face, you know.
Oh, that's hysterical. Yeah, see, sometimes, you know, the boy's going to be a genius at you know, shooting balls and getting them in the hoops, and he'll probably be, you know, going to college on scholarship and going into the pros. And hopefully he'll never remember the time he got
yeah.
hit in the head.
On national TV,
or
hit in the face, and he just,
yeah.
everything stopped for that moment, you know, and he looks at his dad, and then he goes, "What?" And dad picks him up, you know.
Wouldn't
like,
this be very weird, though, if this was a moment, a defining moment, when he couldn't move beyond this, the little boy. He became the person that could shoot 1,000, you know, free throws in a row, one
mm-hmm.
right after another.
Mm-hmm.
But he was afraid to get on the, you know, on the team because he was afraid of a ball getting hit in his head, you know.
Right.
I mean, like, that would just be awful. And that was how it worked out.
That's right. Oh,
I know. I know.
Hmm.
Yeah, I want to talk about something because we were talking about goals still. This is kind of like a show about goals, but in weird ways.
Okay.
I want to talk about this through Joe Rogan's experience, but it's not experience. What is it? I don't know. It's the new sci-fi
show. The new show from Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan questions
everything. That. Thank you very much.
Totally love the dude.
Yes.
Totally love the dude.
Which is funny because we're not his demographic, but hey,
no.
I'm there for that.
I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care either.
No.
So anyway, he is this week searching for Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
And
dun, dun, dun.
He goes and talks to all the experts who have searched for Bigfoot and have seen Bigfoot but not able to take their phones out fast enough to take a picture of Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
And he has talked to scientists who really believe they've recorded the Bigfoot's voice, and he's got DNA from Bigfoot and Bigfoot footprints. And they go out into the woods, Joe Rogan and a couple of other Bigfoot, you know.
They go into Washington State, which
yes.
is, you know, really the home of Bigfoot. Really.
Yes. And they're in there now, and they're searching, and they're searching, and they're in there for about, I'm thinking they're there for one day, maybe one night.
I think one night.
Yeah, overnight.
Yeah.
They're busy,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're busy.
But you know what? If you're going to look for Bigfoot, you got to.
Yeah,
get, you
know, one night.
Okay, they got 6 hours here.
Yeah. You know, I love that. You know, I'm like, okay, darn it. Big should be found in one night's time. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, he's evaluating all of his evidence that he's found. And, of course, okay, spoiler alert. Put your hands over the ears for the next 10 seconds.
If some parents have their children
yes.
handy or whatever, cover their ears.
Right. He didn't find
Bigfoot. No.
No evidence.
No.
He found DNA of a bear, of a coyote,
mm-hmm.
Scat of a bear.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so funny because the teacher who said, no, this is definitely Bigfoot scat because it's in a log.
He said it was log-shaped.
Log-shaped. And
you
then Bigfoot
and
did
you
that.
Know, can I?
Yes?
S-C-A-T, scat. You know
yes.
what that is, people? It's poop.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's poop.
It's poop.
It's poop. It's a polite word for the S-H word.
Yeah.
You know, so I
like
scat.
Does a bear scat in the woods?
Yes.
Scat. That sounds like something you would do. Like,
well,
what
do they call that when you're like, do 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 do? Oh,
yeah,
is that
you know,
scatting?
Yeah, you're scatting. Ella Fitzgerald would scat, right?
Is that the right word? Scat?
I don't know.
So anyway, here he is, and you know, no Bigfoot. Okay, but he was out there for a night. Oh my gosh, I can't believe how long he took to investigate
mm-hmm.
this. And then I was watching Nova. I know, right? I have a huge range of TV shows I love to watch. And they were talking about Siberian tigers. And this Chinese man, who I don't have his name for, I'm sorry about that, wanted to prove that Siberian tigers were in this one area. And
was it in Siberia?
It was in Siberia.
That's cool.
And he was up in the woods in a tent that was white, and he had an assistant that would come and bring him food. And how long do you think he was up there?
Well, I happen to know this, but
yes.
I'm not gonna spoil it for you.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah.
80 days.
Yes.
80 days.
Yeah. In a little tent, waiting.
Yes. Waiting.
Waiting for the Siberian, the appearance of the Siberian tiger.
To the point of where he said, you know, I felt lonely at some times, and I realized that people need people. And he got a huge payoff. He found a mother and her two cubs. And it was beautiful, and the pictures he got were glorious of these Siberian tigers against different backdrops and sometimes blooming flowers, the snow. It was just amazing. That's how long he was there. I mean, amazing photographs. 80 days.
80 days.
And I'm thinking, well, that's probably why you guys haven't found Bigfoot yet.
Exactly.
Because you're not dedicated enough to say, you know, like that teacher, okay, you have a summer vacation. You have a break. You get your butt up there, and you stay in a tent until you find Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
But no,
mm-hmm.
no, that's not what they're doing, because they all have lives.
Mm-hmm.
They all have to make, you know.
We're disappointed.
Yeah.
No, they're not going to go looking for Bigfoot again this weekend.
Yes, because I'll tell you why. I'm going to say the reason why they don't do that. Okay, for the man who stayed in the tent for 80 days to find the Siberian tigers, and he had this huge payoff, I mean, he probably would have stayed longer. He was just committed.
Yeah.
That is That is the fire. You have a Zen quote. You said, how much do you want this? You have to want it as not as
oh,
much.
Wait,
go ahead.
But you should have a dun dun dun.
Oh, wait. So, Zen corner.
Zen
dun,
corner.
Yes. And what is the Zen quote, Mama? Can you say it for me?
How much do you want this? As much as a man with his hair on fire wants a river.
Yes. And that's how much that man wanted to see a Siberian tiger.
Right.
And he was willing to stay up there, even though he was lonely sometimes and started to get antsy and anxious. And I'm going to pull out another Zen quote. Zen is not some kind of excitement, but concentration on our usual everyday routine. And I thought to myself, that man practices Zen.
Yes.
And so, but if you're a teacher, you know, or you're like, hey, here's the thing. I don't want to go and spend 100 days out there and come back with nothing, you know?
Uh-oh.
And so...
But you might have to if you really
want to. But you might
to.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was very interesting telling. And so there are times out there we have to really, if we want it bad enough, we got to be willing to put the time in.
Well, I know, like,
or,
for example.
Or just enjoy our life as is, because I'm okay with that, too.
What'd you say?
Or enjoy our life as is, and I'm okay with that, too.
Right. Well, you made me think about, like, ghost hunters.
Yes.
Like, they just come for one night, and, and usually it's, like, from 12 to 3 or something.
Yeah, something crazy.
And you know, this it's expected to happen during those 3 hours. Or, gosh, what's that other show? Is it Paranormal?
Yeah, Paranormal Activity, and they call it the witching hour or something
like
that.
Are you sure it's paranormal? Yeah. Or they call it the dead hour.
Right, the dead hour.
Or dead time. Dead time.
Something like that,
yeah. And so, I mean, all of a sudden, I mean, that's pretty much pressure on a ghost or whatever, to have to just show up and, you know, who knows. I think you're at, and last night I watched, oh my goodness, on 118, American Haunting. And what was a little bit different about this, and I don't know if it was, you know, real or whatever. I'm going to
call it real-esque.
Real-ish.
Real-ish, yes.
And what was interesting is that they brought cameras to these people's homes for a minimum of 12 days.
Yes.
Now, see?
Yeah, continuously.
Exactly. And now you're getting in the terrain for me where I might think, hey, you're going to catch something.
Right.
And they did. You know, again, if it's realish.
Right.
You know. But that's why I have something against, like, the ghost hunters guys that just say, okay, we're going to be here from, you know, midnight to 4, wrap things up, you know. If you don't show, you know. Same thing, like you said, with Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to go out, you know, in the middle of the night and step in poop, you know, and you're expected to, you know. And so I want to give props and kudos to the man who stayed in the tent.
Yes.
Did this, you know, 80 days for the Siberian tiger. I mean, that's commitment. That's, you know, where you're saying, hey, this is what I really want to do. And, you know,
and
not a wild
so cool.
goose chase.
Not a wild goose chase, no, but it was so cool because here I am able and sitting in my recliner watching Nova, and I'm like, I get to experience his work, and I want to say thank you for that.
Yeah.
And you brought up wild goose chase. I love that.
Why?
Well, because I just read this quote, and I don't have it with me, but I have it. It goes like this. I love this quote. It talks about, you know, don't be afraid to go on a wild goose chase. That's what wild geese are made for.
I love that quote. Oh, yeah.
Because sometimes we, how many times have we been told, that's a wild goose chase, you know, such as Bigfoot.
Exactly.
Maybe Siberian tigers was that guy's wild goose chase.
Yes.
But because they went on it, you know, for the Bigfoot guys, they got to hang out with Joe Rogan. That's pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Or hang out in the woods of, you know, northern Washington, that's pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm.
For the Siberian tiger guy, he got to see Siberian tigers, and that was his wild geese.
Yeah, you know, we all have that in our lives, though.
Yeah.
You know, that, I mean, us riding the Clutterfly Effect. Who knew, you know, that,
right.
I mean, for some people, I mean, for us, especially when we were first starting, it was elusive. It was a wild goose chase. Because we just didn't, it wasn't crystal clear to us
right
what we wanted. I mean, how many times did we sort of change the focus, you know, change it until we went, oh, that was it.
This worked.
That felt good.
Yeah.
That felt right. It felt like us.
Right.
And you're right. You know, I think people need to have that wild goose chase in their lives.
What, there's another phrase for that. I don't know what it's called. It's, I guess Indiana Jones, it would be his, the Ark of the Covenant?
Noah's Ark or
Noah's
something.
Ark. There's always something that's elusive, right?
That's right.
I mean, he found his, but no one's found Noah's Ark as we know of yet, you know, so that hasn't happened. But, you know, we're talking again about the art of practicing, and I'm going to do-do-do, Zen Corner.
Hold on. Zen corner for Julie.
Yes. It's about nothing special. If you continue this simple practice every day, you will obtain some wonderful power. Before you attain it, it is something wonderful. But after you attain it, it is nothing special.
Mm.
Yes.
I love it.
Yeah. Just like that little boy who learned how to shoot hoops, or the professional basketball player who shoots hoops all day long. You know, that first 100 in a row he got right was an amazing feat.
Right.
And then afterwards it was like, nothing special.
I know. It was. You know what, I remember when we hit number one on Amazon for the Clutterfly Effect. I was so filled with endorphins and just all the good stuff just going through my body, and I thought, I will never lose this.
Yes.
You know, this,
you said that. You claimed it. I'm always going to feel this good.
I'm always going to feel this good, this high, or whatever.
Yeah.
And probably within 48 hours.
Right.
It was nothing special.
And then also our website crashed, and I had to deal with that crap and still dealing with that crap on and off and on.
All
and
of our websites crashed.
Yes. And so then you're like, that's right. Life still happens.
That's right, yeah. Even though...
that happens everywhere.
Yeah. But there is that element, though, too, that I remember, one of my all-time favorite books was... It's called Shambhala.
Mm-hmm.
But the goal was to be so ordinary, you know, your day, your life, so ordinary that you became extraordinary. As opposed to extraordinary, you know,
yes.
Just that you were just extraordinary.
Yes.
And there was something so humbling and sweet and just beautiful about just being ordinary. So ordinary that you're extraordinary or nothing special, you know, that you
well,
just
it's so funny. Because you've used that phrase several times, you know, in my lifetime, you don't say extraordinary.
No.
You say extraordinary.
I do.
And it's so funny because you've talked to authors who've used the word extraordinary in their work, and you're like, and it's extraordinary. They're like, it is not extraordinary.
bitch, what are you doing?
You're wrong.
Not extraordinary.
Yes. No, I mean that as a compliment. I really do.
I don't.
No, it's extraordinary. I haven't put a year of my life into this book to be extraordinary. Oh, I'm sorry. You didn't read Shambhala.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be referencing it because you're obviously offended.
I know.
But I always go, Mom, I think they're meaning extraordinary. And you're like, no, it's extraordinary. It always makes me laugh.
I know.
It really does.
You're such a sweetheart. You're a cupcake.
Yes. I'm going to say one thing real quick. I'm going to give myself props. Because I have one example in my life where I do something on a continuous basis and I get success very few times, and that is my UFO finding abilities.
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
This is so true. You pulled this out, girlfriend,
yes.
But this is so true.
I look up at the sky all the time, and since I was a little kid, my grandmother used to take me out. We used to sit in her backyard and we used to look at the meteor showers. And we used to be at her house in August all the time. And that was when the meteor shower, I can't think of the name right now, would come through. And she'd wake us up in the middle of the night and we'd go look. And I just loved stars from way back then.
Yes.
And so I look at the sky. And so I have looked at the sky every night. And I've had a payoff at least 8 times.
Oh, for sure.
Yes.
Oh, for sure.
I've seen the Northern Lights 3 or 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen 1, 2, 3 times I've seen an unidentified flying object, a UFO.
Correct.
Three times.
And I've been with you a couple of those?
Yes. Once been with me, once I had to run into the house saying, there is a UFO above our house.
Mm-hmm.
You come running out. You guys saw it. And you're like, yeah, I have no idea what the hell that is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because both those times, there was news about things in the sky that matched what I saw, which
mm-hmm.
I thought was validation.
Mm-hmm.
And then just recently, I saw something else. And, you know, I wouldn't have gotten those payoffs and those great stories
mm-hmm.
if I don't look at the sky continuously, you
right.
know, every night.
Right.
And sometimes it's just about looking up and saying, wow, this is pretty
mm-hmm.
awesome, pretty amazing, pretty cool. And I know people out there who never look up,
mm-hmm.
who never look at the stars. And so, you know, to them I say, hey, look up more often. You'd be surprised.
We can even say this, girlfriend. Mm. If you're not looking for poop, you may never find Bigfoot.
There it is. And that's it in a nutshell. So
now
let's talk about
that's pretty
yeah.
zen, right?
Yeah, that's very zen. So I think it's also a good time to talk about wiener talk.
Oh, is it?
Wiener talk.
Is
yes.
it really? Okay. Because I said the word poop.
Yes. And we're going to talk about Anthony Weiner because he's been in the news, and I find him
fascinating. Oh, I just thought you were just going to talk. I just thought you said wiener talk. I thought we were just going to talk about wieners.
Oh,
you know what
Oscar Mayer hot dogs are delicious. I love Portillo's.
I know.
Hold on.
No, you know what they're doing now?
No, what?
I guess Twinkies are back, and they're slicing Twinkies open and putting wieners in Twinkies.
Wow.
Yes. Seriously.
It's like the first person to decide to fry a ho-ho.
Right.
Or a ding-dong. They were like a Three Musketeers bar. They were the people on the leading edge of creativity.
Yes. So now we're frying a wiener in a Twinkie.
Oh, my. I don't know if I should applaud these people.
Would you call it a tweener?
A tweener.
A wiener inky.
Yes.
Wiener.
Weenie inky.
Wiener
Winkies. Inky. Winkies.
Winkies.
Why not? Who's winking at you? It's a winkie.
I'd like three winkies with... some mustard and
ketchup. Do you put a condiment on there, or is
yeah.
it? Oh, see, now we're going.
Are you gonna put a condiment on your winky?
No, oh no, this is just awful. Whoever thought about this was just wrong, because there are so many innuendos that can go with this. Because
no.
I mean, like, what's the cream inside of a Twinkie, and where does
exactly.
that go?
Exactly.
I mean, it's just wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
And the yes, okay.
So we'll just get back to
Anthony Weiner.
From Zen Corner to wiener talk.
Yes. And I want to say this because we're talking about hubris. I love the word hubris. It's a great word. And
you learned it from?
Well, I mean, I've learned it before, but you said look it up today, Julie.
Yes.
So I had to look it up. And so I will tell you the exact definition of hubris right now. If I can find it, which I do have it right here. Okay, here it is. The excessive pride and ambition that usually leads to the downfall of a hero in classical tragedy. Do, do, do.
Leads to the downfall
of our hero. You know, and I wouldn't call Anthony Weiner a hero, but his own mind.
But
I think,
you know what, though? Nowadays, when you look up the word hubris, you will see his
I agree.
Wiener.
You will see Weiner right there.
You will see the Weiner right there.
You will see that. And so if you don't know the story...
Go ahead and share it a
Anthony
little
bit. Weiner, you know, left his post, had to leave his post, I think it was a year ago or a couple years ago.
I think it was in 2011.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Because there was a sexting scandal. He had taken a picture with his phone camera, not of Bigfoot, but of his little... Winker, and sent it to somebody. And then that got on the internet, I guess. And then he was, you know, of course he's married and has
yeah.
a baby and all this stuff. And so in
scandal.
Shame, he had to leave.
Not only did he had to leave, but he did what all good hubris heroes do. They go into rehab right away.
Oh, they did? Oh, a good guy.
Yeah.
I support people who do that. Awesome. Now, fast forward, 2013. You know what? I'm guessing in his mind, Anthony Weiner might say, I have atoned for my mishaps, my little, you know, thingamajiggy coming out, and I'm ready to lead the biggest city in the United States.
New York City.
Yes.
Hold on. New York City.
Yes. And that's where he wanted to go, wanted to run for.
Mayor
and people,
of New York City.
And people were like, okay, maybe this could work. We like his politics or whatever. His wife still stayed with him. They've worked it out in their marriage. And to find out, you know, he's been doing it again. And and to like 13 people that we know about. And it's like,
I think that that sort of sexting, you know, they always say, oh, I've only, is sort of like people who are drunk drivers.
Mm-hmm.
They sort of say, oh, I just did it this one time. But the statistics are, for every time you get caught drunk driving, you know, it is several hundred times.
Exactly.
That you've been doing it. So my feeling is that's sort of the statistic that we're working with
here. And I
think
it's like, okay, ladies out there, I'm not saying I've done this, but, you know, when you say, oh, I never do this on the first date, you know, and you're like, oh, really, you know, that might be not the truth either. I'm just saying, that kind of thing?
Mm-hmm.
All right, okay, I get you. So anyway, so here he is now, 2013, July, and, you know, he decides to run for mayor of New York City, even though he knows this is in his wheelhouse, that he has taken pictures of his last name and posted it all, you know, and sent it to people, to girls out there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's a modern-day flasher.
Mm-hmm. For sure. I mean, specifically this girl that I guess really ratted him out, or 22, 23 years old.
Really? I know.
Yeah. And supposedly, I mean, I don't know. Supposedly she was, you know, a fan of his, liked his politics, you know, and you know, there's always other stuff, you
right.
know, like
there is.
He promised her that he was gonna buy her a condo.
Oh, awesome!
Stuff like that.
You sure she didn't say condom? Did you sure?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Condo. Okay.
Condominium.
Condominium.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I like he's quoted as saying, you know, I'm gonna still keep talking about ideas for the middle class and people struggling to make it every single day.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Oh, is that true?
Yes. And I go, you go for it, Mister. You go for it, Anthony Weiner. And, you know, could you have at least kept it in your pants long enough to, you know, try to have a healthy campaign?
Yeah, no, see, this is where he lost me. Because,
yeah.
I mean, I really want to talk about this hubris, because he knows that this is in his, you know, that he's actively doing this.
Right.
And still to choose to run for mayor of New York City thinking that, there's, you know, that I'm more powerful than this scandal, or people will.
The girls that I've done this to, they won't tell on me.
Right. And there's that element, Julie.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this other element, which was cringeworthy for me, is he's up there with his wife, and she's doing the talking.
Yeah.
She's talking about how she, you know, I don't know, it was just like, I really want. I had to, you know, click off, because it just, I can't tell you why, but it was like, sir, you should be talking, not having your wife do your dirty work.
Right.
I don't care, you know, I don't care what's going on with you guys. Don't send her out there to do your dirty work.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, it's kind of a little cowardly, isn't
it? It was. It was like, you know what? What was? I'm such a television watcher on Sundays. Sunday night is Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Oh yeah.
And,
okay.
And last week, Rob couldn't go to Greece, or didn't want to go to Greece with the rest of the Kardashians, because he's gained some weight, and he feels very, you know, he feels very ashamed, whatever, blah blah blah. And so he doesn't go, and he's hurt. I can't think of his name. The cute one.
Brody Jenner.
Yeah. He's cute. And Brody's like, man, I wanted you to come along. You're going to be my wingman. Everybody else is here paired off. And I was going to, you know, hope that you and I could go out. And he goes, but, you know, I just feel so bad because I've gained weight. And he goes, for God's sakes, just own it.
Right.
Just own it.
Right.
That solves a million issues. Just
See?
Own it. That's what I wanted Weiner to do.
If he just would have said, I like to show off my, you know, my mister, and I say, go for it, just become a male stripper. And then say that. Then you have a place for it. You're not doing it in your on your phone. Mm-hmm. And then maybe you can then say, hey, listen, mm-hmm. everyone, mm-hmm. I am proud of this member of my body, and I'm going to
Julie,
show
how many euphemisms are you going to do?
I don't know what I could really say. And it's, and also, I have
just
a tally.
Penis.
I have a tally. I don't know if we can say that. I have a tally, and I'm going to try to get to 30.
Okay, all right.
You know, but
all
I'm
right.
not going to make it.
All right.
And so, you know, his hubris took him down. And so, honestly, when somebody was saying, well, if he could do this, he probably has other things going on in his character. And mm-hmm. the truth be told, I totally agree with this mm-hmm. because he didn't stop.
Right.
He didn't stop.
Right.
And it's sort of like, I want to talk about this woman real
quick. I don't
quick.
Care. Honestly, at this point, I don't care how good of a mayor he could have been. This
no.
this is too big of a character flaw for
it
me.
It really is.
You know,
it really is.
To overlook that. Because if you're in politics, there is a million places that you can get blackmailed.
There you go.
And that just can't happen. You know,
no.
that can't. That's too big of a character flaw to be.
It's sort of like when Elliot Spitzer was going after all those prostitution rings and whorehouses or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and then we find out that he's been seeing one on the side,
mm-hmm.
and he got taken down, and now he's now he's a host of a show,
and
so
that's
forth.
That's fine. I don't. That's fine.
But it
but
is
don't
weird.
Run, take,
it,
yeah, yeah.
Don't put your politics out there and then do this stuff on the side.
Right.
Because when we find out, we're going to go, really? You couldn't? I mean, we don't live like that. We're
yeah.
not.
Not only.
Such
not
a
only
weird...
would you be your picture be under in the dictionary under hubris, your picture is going to be under the word hypocrite.
Exactly. And we say no to that. But it's just like our woman, Cromwell.
Rita
Cromwell.
Can we? Yeah, you started out this hour talking about Rita Cromwell,
mm-hmm.
and she's from Dixon, Illinois, which mm-hmm. we're from, and stole, I think, maybe even more than $56 million from the city
right.
over the course of 20 years.
And she was known to have this business savviness, and
mm-hmm.
she had two horse farms, and she was just huge in this type of horse breeding
mm-hmm.
and horse showing.
Mm-hmm.
She was really and had a name for herself. And behind
she was
the
comptroller
scenes.
Or something.
Yes,
like
comptroller.
That?
I think it was a treasurer.
Yeah.
I think it was comptroller.
Yeah,
you're right. She had to. She was the one that took care of all the money. She dispersed
all
it all.
All the money. Yeah.
She brought in and then dispersed
mm-hmm.
it all.
And one of the reasons I think that we do have money in Dixon
mm-hmm.
is Reagan was from Dixon, so we have a lot of what I call Reagan money
right.
that floats around. Always there's statues and there's always a lot of. So that was the reason I think that we did have so much money, but. The fact that at $50 million, do you think that she could have said, you know what, I better stop. There,
right.
my chances of getting discovered. But no, she kept doing it and doing
yeah.
it, and she would take these huge vacations.
Right,
she would take 3-4 months, and they'd have a fill-in come in.
Right,
and one little fill-in just said, you know, I'm looking at this stuff, Mr. Mayor, and it doesn't add up.
Yes,
this doesn't add up.
Yes.
Oh, do we have time to tell that the day that they took her down, we were...
Oh, you're right.
You
we happened to be at Walmart. It's not like we spent a lot of time together, Mama, but we do. We happened to be at Walmart in the parking lot. And, you know, Walmart parking lots are huge. And there is literally 40 cars
yes.
of FBI agents.
And we're looking at these cars, just normal cars,
yes.
all different kinds. But these guys are, that you could tell they've got their vests on.
Right.
And we're going, oh, my God, Julie, something's going down.
Something's
big's going down.
And we're like, are they training for something? And what struck me the most is that there was not one SUV, black SUV.
No.
There were minivans. There were four doors.
Yes.
There were two doors. There were dirty cars. Everything normal looking about
right.
these FBI
absolutely
agent cars.
Extraordinarily
yes.
more normal.
Exactly. And then at one moment, we're like watching because now we're curious. They take off.
All
they
at once.
They take off in two different directions.
Yes.
And we're like, should we follow them? And we're like, oh, I don't know. I don't
yeah.
know. We should have followed
we
them.
We should have followed them. Now, in retrospect, we know now.
That would have been a great continuation of the story.
Yes.
But we didn't follow them.
Yeah.
And then only the next day or did we hear about this on Yahoo News.
Yes.
And it's like, holy cow, it made national news.
Yes, yes. And it's still making news. I mean,
right.
But this was happened when you have hubris.
And therefore, I think it's an appropriate match. For as much hubris as you have, you'll be taken down as much.
Mm-hmm.
And she may spend
mm-hmm.
the next, you know, the rest of her life in prison.
Mm-hmm.
She may do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we, Anthony Weiner, should never run for a political office again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, please take
mm-hmm.
a clue by now, for
right.
heaven's sakes.
Right.
I mean,
is there any other people we can think of in those last remaining minutes?
I mean, OJ, he got out of his first criminal case and was found, quote unquote, not guilty. And then he couldn't stay out of prison. He had to go and, what was the story? He went and was looking for some memorabilia that someone stole from him, supposedly. And it ends up him and his friends went up to this one hotel room, and the guy thought he was being kidnapped, and he went to prison for that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, crazy stuff. It's like all you had to do was play golf every day.
Mm-hmm.
Keep your nose clean. You could have gotten away with it.
Speaking of golf,
yes,
Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods. There is a name thing going on. We have Anthony Weiner. We have
what?
Tiger Woods. Multiple Woods. You know, Rita Crum, well,
Tiger Woody,
you know,
the Winky, the Twinkie.
Oh, and then also General Petraeus, remember him?
Oh, General?
Yes.
That General Betrayus.
Yeah, General Betrayus.
Yes.
There is something in the name game.
Yes.
There really is.
Okay, so that's cool. That's really cool. So thank God we're just Peters.
Uh-oh. Oh, no. For all the men in our family, better beware not to run for any political office and to keep your peers in your
peers. That's the last thing we're going to do is run for political.
Yes.
We have too many skeletons in our closet.
They're all exposed by now,
yes.
They're still there. And do I want to keep telling the stories over and over again of how this happened?
I know.
You know, or the time that I happened to be at a nudist camp. I don't know. I can't keep. I'm sorry.
And I don't know if you ran for political office, would it help you or hurt you?
I think I would write a tell-all book.
That's what Barack Obama did.
Yes.
That's the smart thing to do.
Except that mine would be so boring. It would be like a chapter and a half.
Yeah. It would be a booklet.
It would be a booklet.
Mm-hmm.
But I would really expose all those deep, dark corners of my soul.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be a booklet.
And then you get it out.
Yes.
And then they go, hey, we discovered this about you. No. Uh-uh. In my book.
Exactly.
It's already in my book.
Exactly.
Oh, but what about this?
Mm-mm. No.
Chapter 2.
Yeah.
Page 1.
We're getting ready to close the show out, everyone. I just want to say it's been an awesome, awesome show. And so much fun just Tinery and I just chatting. I hope you enjoyed it. We didn't bring any expert guests on tonight. And
just our own expert guests.
Yeah. A good girlfriend.
Is it already done?
Yeah. Hey, go to clutterflyeffect.com to find out more about us or our Twitter page at Prosperity Duo. And have a great, great night.
Thanks, everyone.